Welcome back to the National Defense. I'm Nate Herron, and we're joined today by a show favorite from our partner, longtime partner, Ford and Ford Motor Company. We've got Ted Ryan. He's the poobah of all the archivists and the history of Ford. Ted, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I've got the best job in the world. I get to polish up Ford heritage every single day, our great products and our icons from around the world.
Well, you know, Ford is a longstanding American company. I'm proud to be on my third Ford Explorer in a row now, although the ST is a little different than the first one I had back in 98. But you got some exciting news that you guys shared this week. On Tuesday of last week, you guys cracked open a whole treasure trove of information on Ford. Can you tell us about it?
I can. We added 1,600 images and brochures of Ford's concept vehicles over time to the Ford Heritage Vault as FordHeritageVault.com. And with this addition of the concept vehicles, we're up to 15,000 total images and brochures in the site. And it's got spectacular ones. The concept cars are like the frosting on the cake in the auto design world. It's where the designers get to let their imagination go wild without fear of lawyers. You know, we can design anything, whether it's going to happen or not. So you get the spectacular ones like the Nucleon from 1958, because who wouldn't want a nuclear powered car?
Yeah.
The Mustang one of my favorites, which eventually with a couple of different iterations became the Mustang. The Aurora, a fantastic 1964 station wagon that actually had an L-shaped sectional sofa instead of a back seat. So once again, these are flights of fancy from Ford's designers, and now we're making them available to the public.
Well, an L-shaped couch, just in case, you know, to further accentuate the needs of the modern traveler's car sickness, I suppose, riding sideways in a vehicle. I want to talk to you about that, the Nucleon. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. Do the physical copies of many of these cars, these concept cars, were they made? Were they only models? I mean, what percentage of some of these really kind of off-the-wall designs actually saw some metal put into shape?
It's the Nucleon never made it to metal, and it varies from car to car to car, from concept to see what the end result is going to be. The Nucleon was just really a matter of examining how you could get nuclear propulsion into a vehicle. So how would you get it connected to the drivetrain, et cetera. So that one existed as a 3/5 fiberglass model. But another famous one, the Futura, was a Lincoln one. It was a working concept vehicle. Mm-hmm. And it made its circuit through the car shows and through the college campuses and all the other places we show off the concepts. And then we sold it to George Barris for $1, and he turned it into the Batmobile. Mm-hmm. So the Batmobile was based on a Lincoln Futura working concept. So it depends from car to car as to what you're going to get.
Well, obviously, if you got access to Google, you need to Google the 55 Lincoln Futura. So the Lincoln itself already had those kind of bubble domed windows. That wasn't a Batman edition. That was pretty much how it came.
That was part of the concept vehicle. So once again, you know, the Lincoln Futura, it's a flight of the imagination to what a car could look like. That's what I always stress with people that are asking, wait, what is a Levicar? It floats on a surface of air. Well, it's what could happen. And they actually got it to work. It would go around in a circle, about a 10-foot diameter circle. They could get the car to float on air. Couldn't get it to work outside of that circle, but there it worked. Another fun one is the Gyron. Gyron, three-wheeled, and it was going to be controlled by a gyroscope. It was actually designed by the Ford designer named Sid Mead, who later went on to be the set designer for the movie Blade Runner. So you got to see his futuristic things come to celluloid as opposed to be expressed as a concept car.
Well, it certainly looks, it looks like I'm looking at it now. I mean, between that and the nuclear operated vehicle, they both look like, you know, Spacely Sprockets needs to be involved in producing some of the futuristic Jetsons type thing. What, tell me about the 55 Ford Volante. What am I looking at here with that? It looks similar to the Gyron, but it's got a lot going on.
That one is once again just another example of where and how we can take the design to a different level. And some of them focus on interior, some of them focus on exterior. The different concepts were designed or were done by the different studios to showcase where the future could be. But the Volante, it is something, and it was going to have the fans that were going to drive it. One of the interesting things, too, about the Ford Heritage Vault, and your listeners, if they go to it, and the Volante is a perfect example. This is one that we have, what it's called a hero card, that's available for download as well. So we put more than just photos. So this hero card actually gives you the background on what the designers were thinking at that particular moment in time. So like there's another one called the Allegro that you should check out. The Allegro was a concept car. It's one of the three that ultimately led to the creation of the Mustang. And it was a two-seater mid-engine concept vehicle. And combined with the Mustang 1 and then later the Mustang 2 were the three that led directly to the development of the Mustang. But we have the hero card on the Mustang 1 as well. I'm reading from the hero card of the Volante. It says the Volante would be controlled by a system of adjustable lateral and longitudinal vanes, which would allow the complete maneuverability in all directions. So once again, the goal was a creative flight of the imagination. Mm-hmm. That's also another one that no real car was made. It was just a fiberglass model.
And a car that my wife could probably actually parallel park if you could drive it in a direction. We've got Ted Ryan, the Ford Archives and Heritage Brand Manager here on the phone. So we've talked about some of the things you can experience and some of the things were just models, flights of fancy. Let's talk about the 1953 X100 that was built to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Ford. And it had a whole list of whiz-bang doohickeys inside, including an electric razor, a early navigation system, and rain-sensing windshield wipers. Now, Ford has got that under control now with the rain-sensing wipers. I don't even have to mess with it anymore in my new Explorer. But tell me what an early navigation system from 1953 would look like there in the X100.
It looked like a map that somebody had pasted to a piece of board. is exactly what it looked like. We actually had that car on display in the archives earlier this year. The physical version of that one still exists at the Henry Ford Museum. But of those 100 innovations that were on that car, a lot of them actually came to be over time. You mentioned the windshield wipers and the phones and the navigation system, auto sensing high beam, low beam, variable loudness horns. It had all these different features because once again, the concept isn't just what's on the outside of the car, it's what's on the inside as well.
It had a variable loudness horn.
So the faster you're going, the louder it gets.
Okay. Well, see, I have $1 million idea for you and the engineers there in Dearborn. All right. You ready?
Yes.
We need horns on cars of different volumes or tones that convey different emotional, you know, the normal horn sounds the same, no matter what it's whether, hey, the light's green, let's go. Or I've got a baby being delivered or get out of the way or just say, hey, how's it going? I need a little toot toot and I need a wah! I need like a fog horn kind of thing, a multiple dial it in, dial a horn sort of thing. Can you guys do that for us?
We could, but I suspect that the cars are going to start talking to each other before we could actually
probably
get that done. With all the built-in modems and the sensors that are being built into these cars, I suspect that the cars will be able to tell each other that one is coming down the road and they need to get out of the way. But once again, that's the beauty of forward-looking design. Mm-hmm. One of the designers told me my favorite line. He said, concept cars are where you get to design without fear of the lawyers, because you can do anything and you can put anything in the car. So I think that's the spirit of what they were looking for.
Well, you had the Gyron, which let's say, you know, ran in a circle, or you had the one that floated on the air, I guess. The Levicard. So that a short commute, but the 1967 Commuta, am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are. The 67 Commuter was one of Ford's first attempts at a battery electric vehicle. And it was designed specifically for London, for the urban setting, where in the city of London, you're probably not going to go more than 10 miles in a day, if you even go that far. So a 40-mile charge would be more than enough to see you through. The only problem is the car was tiny. And if you look at the press release photo that we put in there, the model that they show trying to get in and out of the car is about 6'2". She looks like she has to be folded up like a sheet to fit in the tiny little Commuter. And actually, the Commuter is another interesting one because we built a couple of them and they worked. And then we sold the concept to another company that was out there to build them out. So if you look on eBay, you can actually see a couple of Commuters have sold over the last few decades.
Well, seeing them in the flesh or in the steel is exciting. But you mentioned the brochures. And at first blush, you'd be like, the brochure for the Commuter is fascinating. It's got the cross section, the diagrams. It talks about what, you know, two adults in the front, two, maybe three. I think the word maybe or possibly three was used, three children was used in the back. And it shows like a 4'3" kid, and he might have 2 millimeters of knee space behind. I mean, the thing looked like it was on a golf cart chassis, but I mean, that was in 1967. And you can't tell me that that's not the late estranged great uncle of like the smart car kind of, that's almost the same kind of layout today. But the brochures are, honestly, I think that's the fascinating part about this. What can people look for? I mean, I'm sure that the record keeping varies between concept car. There's probably some that were like, all right, well, this is Larry. Larry did some acid back in the 60s and then he made this. We didn't put a whole lot of pen to paper and technical writing specs to it. But what are some of the brochures that make you the most excited?
The brochures that you're going to find the best are going to be the ones from the 60s. The closer we get to today, the less information that is included in them. But during the 60s, almost every single concept car has what a brochure or a hero card are the two different words we use to describe them. And it will tell you why they did it. You know, the Allegra, and it will say, you know, is designed for a sporty new generation. And the interesting feature of the Allegra that was a concept that has in some ways come to pass was the fact that the seats remain fixed, but the your pedals, your gas, your brake, et cetera, would move towards you. So it's, you know, in those cases, and they describe the whole thinking behind why they would do something like that. But after you get past the 70s and more into the 70s and 80s and then to the 90s and 2000s, the amount of information that's available in these brochures diminishes over time. That's, you know, I think we added 1,500 images of concepts, but only 150 brochures. So not all of them are going to have it.
Well, you're listening to the National Defense, and we're here with Ted Ryan from Ford, a man who deserves his own hero card, I would say. As we move more recent history, you have the 1987 Cobra 230 ME, a two-seater concept car. This is a sporty-looking car. It's got a little, Lamborghini sort of feel to it. What can you tell us about that vehicle?
That one was developed to showcase our Indy 500 prowess, the powered by Ford engines and the whole Indy car movement was supposed to be encapsulated in a concept. And that's a perfect example of one that was designed specifically for auto shows. Mm-hmm. So that when you go to the Atlanta Auto Show or the Detroit Auto Show or the LA Auto Show, that car would be shipped around the country and would be linked back to reinforce the Ford is a company that can build fast cars type of concept. Another one of the more recent ones that you may enjoy is the U260 from 2001, which was a Bronco concept. Because remember, the Bronco had gone away in 1996 and Ford didn't have a rugged off-road vehicle. And so the U260 was supposed to represent what Ford could do in that space. And I was shocked when we went through all these negatives at how close that concept looks to the current Bronco.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the same lines on that one.
Well, you've got Airstreams from 2007. You've got the 2010 Flux concept. Are you guys just going to continually be adding to this website as history marches on?
We are concept wise. We put every picture of every concept car that we could find. We are missing a few because we didn't have a complete. And for example, we're missing our very first concept, unfortunately, designed by Edsel Ford in 1934, the Ford Speedster. We just couldn't find a photo of it. But as we find them, we'll add. And then hopefully next year, we're going to add our styling eggs. And that'll be something the public will never have seen. Because before it even ends up as a finished concept, it starts off as an automotive clay, mm-hmm. where these fantastic artists basically craft a car out of clay. And you take the pictures of it, and that's how you know that you're moving the right direction. So we've never put our clays online, but I'm hopeful to be able to do that beginning in the first quarter of next year.
Well, Ford has come a long way from what probably raised a lot of eyebrows when the quadricycle came out in the 1800s. Before we leave, as a Ford Explorer enthusiast myself, I have to ask you about the 1973 Ford Explorer. There's a color that I could only say is orange that would match only avocado and some kind of windscreen, sunscreen. What was that 73 Ford Explorer concept all about?
Oh, you caught me. I'm not ready on that one. I don't have the picture up in front of me. I don't know on that one. I hate to say it, but, you know.
It looks like the length of a – it almost looks kind of like someone took an El Camino and, like, flipped it around, kind of, almost. It's very interesting sort of look. But, I mean, you got, you know, the 24/7 truck concepts, you know, the 1962 Cougar, the Ford Seattleite.
That Cougar is one of the most beautiful concepts ever. It's actually the Cougar 2 is the one that we made at the front page image of the Ford Heritage Vault, just because it's so darn beautiful and wanted to get it out, you know, get that one out there. But there's over 320 of these concepts, and I hope that our fans are going to enjoy going to the site and taking a look at them. Although I'm on it right now, and it's acting pretty slow. I think that
you got a lot of traffic. A lot of traffic since you guys launched us on Tuesday. So yep. My kids, I have to say, they liked the Allegro 2. That was their favorite. They liked the design cars. I got a fourth grader and a second grader. So that one spoke to them like their inner Hot Wheels fan. But Ted, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can folks go to find all of this great information?
They can go to FordHeritageVault.com, and the best search to do is to click on the advanced search, and then it'll bring up a menu, and you can either search by make and model, or you can search by location, or you can search by concepts. So depending on what you're looking for, this is your source, and go take a look at all the different concept cars that we've made available today, made available on Tuesday.
Even if you don't have a particular car or some information in mind, just being able to go through and browse this stuff is really a treat. So I appreciate all the time that you and your staff have put into making this available to the general public. And want to thank you for joining us and thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me on today.
You've been listening to The National Defense.